Do you want to know more about the competitive aspect of hot air ballooning? If so, stay tuned.
Welcome to Discover Statesville, the show that takes you on a captivating journey through the heart of one of North Carolina's most charming towns.
Welcome back, everyone. We're so excited to be back in studio for Discover Statesville. And if you've been following along, you've heard us talk a lot about hot air ballooning. And as the ballooning capital of the East in Statesville, we talk a whole lot about leisure hot air ballooning and being a pilot that takes people up in flight or being a passenger in a hot air balloon. Richard and I were passengers in hot air balloon for the first time in episode one. And today I am very excited that we are going to be talking about the competitive side of hot air ballooning. So today we have with us Mr. Drew Edgerton to talk about that. Drew is a two-time pro football. Say it for me because I'm going to
Pro Football Hall of Fame Enshrinement Festival teams competition.
That rolls right off the tongue.
That's very cool. Three times. Yeah, three.
Multi.
Three times. So we're excited to have you here in studio with
us. Thank you for having me.
Drew. Yeah, absolutely.
So, Drew, how did you get into hot air ballooning?
Actually, I was born into it. When I was really little, Mom had a friend that was on a crew for a pilot down in South Carolina and just wouldn't stop talking about how cool it was. And so Mom and Dad, I was about a year old, Mom and Dad went down to this event in South Carolina, took us basically just to get her to stop talking about it. And of course, they fell in love with it, being on the crew and everything.
Sure.
And not long after that, they returned home. They live in Brevard and found some pilots in the Asheville area to start helping. And the way that usually works is you help a few times and then you get a free flight. And they went on their flight, loved it. And after that, they decided they want to get their own license. So they traded being on a crew for that person in exchange for getting a free lesson. And they got their licenses both when I was about 3 or 4 years old. Actually, went on my first flight when I was 4.
Okay, wow.
That's exciting.
And so really grew up in a hot air balloon basket.
That's right. Okay. I have vivid memory of thinking everything looks like micro machines.
Yeah, yeah.
If you remember those.
Oh, absolutely. I'm going to start talking really quickly. Have you been passionate about hot air ballooning from then on, or was there a gap? You know, I mean, a lot of times there's something maybe your parents are into that you take a break from in high school and college and stuff, and then you realize later.
In the high school years, it was a little more like, oh, I just got to get up. And I didn't really get passionate about getting my actual pilot's license until I graduated college.
Okay.
Through the high school years, it was cars and girls and music, and I started playing guitar when I was 16. And once I graduated college, I had that little bit of gap between graduating and finding a job. So I took that time to get serious about getting my license. So that was 2007, and I'm up to a little over 750 hours now.
Wow.
That's amazing. So you talked about getting a job. Let's just for a minute, because I don't want to forget to do this, talk about you. Let's talk about Drew. Your hot air ballooning is not your full-time job. You are
That's right. It's,
an educator?
It's really difficult in this area to make a living at ballooning just because we're so weather dependent. So I'm actually an engineer at Doosan Bobcat. So well, I've been there for
your bride is,
10 years now.
Yeah, I don't know why I thought you were an educator. But
there's a lot of teachers in ballooning, actually.
Yeah.
But I do like to teach ballooning. I've given a lot of lessons and helped a handful of people that are pilots in the area now get their certificates. So that's something I'm pretty passionate about outside of competing.
So. Yeah. So this timing of speaking to you, I think, couldn't be more perfect because we are a week and a half, so not this weekend, but the following weekend is Carolina Balloon Fest, the 20th through the 22nd, which I know you're very involved in. And everyone thinks about the beautiful balloons and the ascension and, you know, the music and the festival part of what goes out around there. But I think it's really important, and we want you to share with our listeners the competitive aspect of what is going to happen at Carolina Balloon Fest and what that means, like what they can come experience and watch you guys doing. Can you share that with us?
Yeah, absolutely. So the number one question that we always get is, how do you steer a balloon? Because, you know, we're just floating along with the wind, right?
Sure.
So from the outside in, that's all we're doing. But in actuality, as you go up and down above the ground, you can find different directions and different speeds of wind. And some days that difference is very small, and other days it can be very big. So typically, if the wind is blowing, let's say straight to the north, right on the treetops, and we go up higher, we're going to turn more to the right. Every day is different, but that's typical. So when we're competing, it's not about racing because we're all going with the wind. So we're all going to get there at the same time, right? But we're using those different directions to go up and down and steer to a target as accurately as possible. The way we're measured is we put a big X out, a big fabric X. It's about 10 meters wide, and there's a nail in the center of it. And they say you have to go take off a mile away or 2 miles away, whatever they tell us. And then we go find our own launch site to try to use those winds from wherever we take off to get back to that target.
Lots of strategy involved in that, I imagine.
There is. And that's the absolute simple version of it. There's about 12 to 15 different variations of tasks that could be done in our rule book. At an event like Carolina Bloomfest, there's maybe five or six that we can touch on that are the typical ones that you see. But when you get to another level, there's actually a national championship. There's actually a world championship of ballooning that happens every 2 years. And that gets really advanced into using GPS and flying to points in the sky and inside different shapes.
Wow. So is everyone on your crew in the basket, or are you guys also communicating with crew members that are on the ground?
Most of the time in competition, I'm flying solo.
Okay.
Other people will fly with someone maybe to help them navigate, but for the most part, I fly solo.
And checking radar and everything, doing all that stuff yourself.
Yes. Well, so we'll have, first thing in the morning, we actually have a briefing for all the pilots at the tent there on the field, and they tell us about the weather, and then they give us a task sheet. And on that task sheet will be the two or three different tasks that we have for that morning, and it'll have the coordinates of where we're supposed to go. And then we do, you know, roll call, weather, all those generic things, and then they say, okay, go out and find your launch site.
So you're getting the target. You can launch from wherever you want that you think is going to get you there.
That's the typical for the morning.
Okay.
So in the morning, we'll have the target there at the airport, and they'll say a mile or 2 miles away. So if somebody comes knocking on your front door first thing in the morning, if you live anywhere near the airport, please let us use your yard to take off from.
Right. Put clothes on and then answer the door.
We do see people in their robes and all variations of that. Yep.
coming out to say hello. I'm sure most people embrace it.
Most people are very cool with it. And you know, we do our best to try not to damage anything, of course.
Yeah. So is this truly, this part of Carolina Balloon Fest, is it a spectator sport the attendees can watch?
Yeah, absolutely. We've been getting some pretty decent crowds, you know, pre-COVID years. There was some pretty big crowds out there. If you want to see competition, it's best to come for the morning flights, which can be tough for people because it's at sunrise, mm-hmm. right? But if you come to the airport in the mornings, you can actually sit just outside the scoring area and have a really awesome view of us coming into the target.
Well, I haven't seen the competition side of it yet, so I'm looking forward to
it. I actually haven't. And you know, it's impressive anyways. And then having been in a balloon now, it's even more impressive that you could, you know, that there's any way that you could dial it in from wherever you decide to launch from, right, to get to a space that small.
And some days better than others, but there are times, depending on the winds, if there's enough what we call steerage, which is just the difference in that left and right, mm-hmm. how many options you have to choose from, that you need to be able to put your marker on the center of the X, basically, to be able to win the task.
Wow.
So how many people will be competing this year in Carolina Balloon Fest, do you know?
So I think total balloons were around 50. There's usually a handful of those folks that don't do the competition and just take off there from the airport. So you'll also get to see balloons launch if you come out there.
Right.
I would guess somewhere in the neighborhood of 35 to 40, though, that'll be actually competing.
Oh, and wow.
Within that, there's subsets of people like me that are very serious about it. And then there's other people that are happy if they just see the target from a distance and they're just out there to have fun.
Very cool.
I'd say that, but we're having fun being serious about it.
Hey, man, you know.
I do have with me a marker, so this is what we use to throw at the target. So this is just a fabric streamer. It's 5 or 6 feet long. And then this particular one is leaking sand. You can see it really doesn't weigh much of anything.
Yeah, what did I read, like 70 grams?
70 or, grams, yeah. So 77 grams, yep.
I was watching a video of you competing the other day, and you swing this almost like a lasso, it looks like.
So basically the only rule is you can't throw it with it rolled up.
Okay.
So it has to be unrolled, but
it's not baseball.
I will do this to where it's pouring sand everywhere.
Yeah.
I can have it in my hand like this and just drop it. It just has to be unrolled when it lands.
Okay.
So ideally, we can come down as low to the ground as possible. If we touch the ground or any of the trees, that's a penalty. But if not, we can come as low as possible and just reach out and lay this on the center of the target.
That's
the ideal scenario. Sure. If you're further out than that, throw it like a baseball or grab it by the tail, wind it
up. That's what I was seeing you do.
But even the best people throwing markers, you can only throw that maybe 100 feet if you're lucky.
Oh, so I'm surprised you need to be pretty close. Yeah.
The other thing to note is if you're up at any altitude whatsoever and you have speed, these things are so light, and with the streamer, they're going to drift. So if I'm even just a couple hundred feet off the ground, I have to let it go early enough that it's going to drift to the target instead of going on past it.
So to win something like the Pro Football Hall of Fame competition that you're at.
We can talk about Carolina Bloomfest because I've won that 3 times as well.
Well, yeah, okay. So to win a competition like that, I mean, how close do you have to be to a bullseye?
Every day could be a little different. If the winds are challenging, if it's faster and maybe there's less variety of direction, you maybe don't have to be as close because it's going to be more challenging to get there. If the winds are slower and you can go anywhere from here to here and we need to go this way, you need to be pretty much as close to the center as possible. I would say, you know, on a day like that, you could have anywhere from 10 or 15 markers that are within, you know, 30 feet of the center.
Oh, wow. Okay. So, wow.
And then we also have a variety of other tasks. So the basic one is just there's an X there, and that's what we call a fly-in task. Here's a target. Pick your launch site. Fly into it. Usually at Carolina Bloomfest, we'll also have a second task. And each task is worth 1,000 points. So that second task could be something like a triangle or a square or maybe a tic-tac-toe, something like that that's laid out with fabric in the field. And what we're trying to do there, say if there's a triangle, it'll be called a Gordon Bennett Memorial Task. And what that means is we're trying to actually put this marker inside the triangle instead of on the X.
Okay.
But still measured to the X, so you still want to be as close as possible to the X. And they're usually close enough to each other that you can throw at both of them, hopefully.
Wow.
Now, the key about that is you want to be right at the point of the triangle for the best possible score. But if you're even this far outside, no points.
Oh, okay.
Drew, who is Gordon Bennett?
There was a guy, I think he was a guy that had a newspaper, magazine or something many, many, many years ago. Okay. It was actually a gas balloon race that's about to start right now called the Gordon Bennett Race.
Okay.
So the task, for whatever reason, was just named.
I've heard the name before, but I didn't know who he was. So talking back to the leisure side of hot air ballooning, there are several pilots that fly and take passengers during Carolina Bloomfest. Are you doing that as well?
So on Friday evening, we take sponsors from the event to help say thank you to them because we can't do it without sponsorship.
Right.
And then on Saturday evening, we don't usually have a serious competition that's part of the overall event. We might do a fun competition, usually what's called a hare and hound, where one balloon will take off first and then the rest of us have to chase it. So during that, I have some friends that I'm going to take up. I'm not actually selling rides this year, but we've got some friends scheduled to take.
We're going to give you a little plug for if you still has. I don't think many of the pilots have room left, I think. I hope
there's. I think a handful. If you go to their website, there's a place to say book a ride, and I think there's a handful that are still available.
Oh, good. So if you...
I'm sure it'll fill up, though.
...are interested and you haven't done that yet, please do so.
It is beautiful because in the afternoon, there, Saturday and Sunday, you'll see all of us take off from the field at the same time. The thing about the competition is we're all taking off from different places. We'll get a little bit spread out. So from the spectator perspective, the afternoons is where you'll see all of us in the same place at the same time.
Well, I personally, I've seen that before, but not at Carolina Balloon Fest. I've seen that out at the balloon port.
Sure.
There's 20 of you, I think, that took off last time I saw it, which is amazing. So when we first started talking, you talked about growing up and having to get a job in girls and guitars. but then you also talked about it being a family sport and falling in love with ballooning. So speaking about falling in love, your wife, Taylor, is also a balloonist.
That's right. She had actually grown up in Statesville, but never been around balloons at all, had never been to the Balloon Fest even before. And then once we met, actually on our first date, I already had a flight scheduled. And I said, hey, if you're not doing anything this afternoon, you know, come out and hang out with us. And I actually flew with a friend of mine. Every 2 years as a commercial balloon pilot, we have to fly with another pilot that basically just checks off and says we're good to go, that we still know what we're doing.
Right.
So we did our flight, landed, and he said, "Hey, you still got some sunlight left before sunset. Why don't you, I'll get out and let her jump in and fly for a few minutes." I said, "Okay." So our first date, she got to go on a flight and
setting the bar really high.
Yeah, it was downhill from there for that. But
I don't know about that. Y'all seem pretty smitten.
It actually started that she only wanted to be on the crew and didn't really care about being a pilot whatsoever. She liked to fly, but not pilot the balloon. And then it's probably 2 years later, she started working on doing lessons, and now she's got her license as well.
License and her own balloon, right? You guys have a couple of balloons.
We have two baskets, and we have three of the envelope, the fabric part. Yep. And they're all different sizes and shapes. So that's another thing that you'll notice, especially if you come look at the competition side of Carolina Balloon Fest. The traditional round balloon shape, what most people think of, is actually not that great for competing. In competition, we have a balloon that's shaped more like a football. So it's stretched out. Mm-hmm. So it's skinny, but taller. And what that does is let us go up and down twice as fast as a regular shape balloon.
Okay.
So it can be a little bit of an advantage, because when you're using those directions, left and right, and lots of indecision of, do I need the left, do I need the right, it lets us make those maneuvers twice as fast.
Okay. Hence Pro Football Hall of Fame in this ballooning competition, right? Because it's shaped more like
I was watching something the other day, and they said what the technical term was for the shape of a football, and now I can't remember. What do they call the shape of the balloon?
Most people just call it a racer.
Okay.
It's basically like driving a little sports car instead of a big pickup.
Sure.
So it just lets you be a lot more agile and make those last-minute corrections. So.
Well, shout out to Taylor. We're sorry you're not here with us today. So Taylor and Drew are two of, I think, 11 commercial, maybe not all commercial, not all fly commercially, but hot air balloon pilots that fly in Statesville every day, weather permitting. So I love to say that any day can be an adventure with hot air ballooning in Statesville, North Carolina, because you guys fly all the time. I'm every weekend I'm looking, because it's like, good morning, look up Statesville. And I'm like, good morning. And we try to catch you in time to share it. But you guys are out there early.
We do. We like to fly at sunrise. That's when the winds are the most stable. And also for competition, that's when we have usually the most of that steering. Later on in the afternoon, that kind of signals down into one direction and gets a little gustier. First thing in the morning is the best time to go, for sure.
Well, and talking about every day can be an adventure outside of Carolina Balloon Fest, there's some other events that a lot of the pilots get involved in. One of them coming up end of October with Equivation. Yep, am I saying that right? I think you're integrally involved in that. Can you tell us a little bit about that? Because that's a cool event.
Sure. So similar to Carolina Balloon Fest, when we have after the evening flights, when we do the glow, where we set the balloon up in the dark and we don't take off or go anywhere because we have to be able to see the land, so we can't fly in the dark. But it's really beautiful to see the balloons just light up all different colors in the night. We're going to do the same thing there. It's a wonderful nonprofit called Equivation, and they're based up on Snow Creek Road up in North Iredell. And they use horses and other things as therapy a lot for kids that have had, you know, traumatic issues and things in the past. So it's a really awesome charity, and they asked us to come help put on their big fundraiser for the year. So we're going to have 10 or 11 balloons up there as a glow for that. And we're going to try to synchronize and, you know, do things together like that. But also I think they're going to have food and some other activities for the kids. And we're going to make a trick or treat thing out of it as well, since it's right there at Halloween.
Okay. Is this the second, third year?
Second year this year.
Okay. We were able to come out last year and bring Brandon some email. That might be the first time I saw the racer.
Okay.
Cause I was like,
what? It was brand new.
It's like, what's wrong with that balloon? But what it is, it's a fancy competition balloon. It looks very, very streamlined.
Right.
And you guys also, I think for a couple years out at the soccer complex.
So they did that as another fundraiser. I can't remember who you guys were raising money for. But
So we did, I think mostly
Christian Ministries food drive.
Collected cans and also collected a bunch of money. I can't remember off the top of my head now how many 1,000 pounds of food and everything. You know, we're around a ton of food and then several hundred dollars in donations. So that's another thing that's not an official organization of any sort. It's just a handful of pilots that say, hey, let's get together and do what we can. Right.
It brings people out.
Traffic can be an issue for sure. So that's something we don't plan a whole lot ahead of time, but now, you know, once Balloon Fest is over, we'll get a little more serious about trying to set dates for that.
Yeah, well, let us know how we always like to help when we can, so let us know how we can help. So I'd love to hear, I mean, you told us what you do in Doosan, but, and it's funny because Richard and I, very busy through the week, but we try to at least take a few minutes to talk about the guests we're going to have on and have somewhat of a plan. And, I was speaking to you about, speaking to him about you coming on. And so he starts talking about you playing, and it took me a minute and I said, playing? Drew's a musician? And he said he absolutely is and was telling me a little bit about that. But tell us a little bit about that, like the other side of corporate Doosan engineer, hot air balloon pilot Drew.
it's kind of like ballooning. It's another way to spend a lot of money and not really make any.
There you go.
being an engineer helps pay for all these things. But yeah, I started playing guitar, like I said, when I was 16, and then I started playing mandolin at about 18. Fell in love with bluegrass at that point. Going on, 20 years now at this point, sure. I've been playing mandolin. So not really playing with a band at the moment, but I guess the next thing we have coming up is a jam down in Cornelius at Old Town Public House there. We're going to do that once a month. And just go to little camps and things and just get together with like-minded mandolin players and it's just a fun little hobby. It's not something I'm going to take seriously enough to quit my job by any means.
Well, if people dig, there's videos of Drew playing mandolin on the Little Tone Frankie show. From
That's true.
More than once, certainly.
You need a nickname because he's already got one.
Well, Little Toe, Frankie, we'll have to. We're 10 episodes in now. Maybe we can think of something. For the listeners who do not know, Richard, few years back had a radio show, Little Tone Frankie, and you guys all need to jump on and comment and say, bring back Little Tone Frankie.
Yeah, they do still have the burger.
That's right. They do. The burger still exists. That's
yeah.
Right.
We have a restaurant.
If anybody
town.
Sees that burger on the Broad Street Burger
yeah,
menu,
Broad Street
that's
burger.
Where it came from.
That's right.
This is the third show we've talked about that burger.
That's right. Well, it's worth trying. So if people want to see the competition aspect of Balloon Fest, they need to come out early Saturday.
Saturday morning and Sunday morning is okay. When we're going to be doing the competition.
So. Okay.
And what we usually have there is two targets or two tasks at the field, and then probably one more that's on past the airport. So not really much of a spectator thing there because we don't know where that's going to be until we figure out what the winds are going to be that morning. And in the afternoons, we might do kind of a fun thing, like I was saying, the hare and hounds, but that usually doesn't count to the overall.
Mm-hmm.
And then the overall champion, we add all those things up for the whole weekend. Each one's worth 1,000 points, and whoever's got the most points at the end wins.
Okay.
Last time I won out of 6,000 total points possible, I beat the guy in second place by just, I think, like less than 10.
Oh, really? Okay. So it's tight competition.
That's right.
And I think it's cool. This is a good reminder for people, you know, if you come out on Saturday or Sunday morning, you can be up close and personal. It's not like you're having to watch these competitions from 100 yards away. You can be right there at it,
right,
watching you guys drop down, drop your bag.
They do have a scoring area kind of mm-hmm. marked off and officials standing around, you know, make sure if you're sitting out there and you see some balloons kind of coming over the edge of that, make sure you're looking up because somebody might try to hurl their marker a little further than they actually can. And
right.
So keep an eye up.
Screw yourself a marker. That's like catching a foul ball.
Yeah? Drew, if someone wants to spend the weekend or an evening, an early evening with you and Taylor, how do they get a hold of you? Like the names of the balloons? And I know you guys are on Facebook.
We are on Facebook and Instagram and have a website. It's Air Olina Aviation, like Carolina, but just Air Olina.
Okay.
We do, you know, a handful of rides a year. We don't book as many as some people do because we also like to keep it fun. And all of the next month or so, I'm just practicing competition to get ready for Balloon Fest instead of selling rides. So
yeah, I've been seeing your balloons as backdrop, your balloon as backdrop in pictures out at Windsong Flowers with Catherine at Windsong Flowers. It's just, they're just, hot air balloons are just beautiful. But if you want to learn more about the sport of hot air ballooning, Drew has been kind enough to write a blog for us. So we will be putting a link to that blog here in the comments of the show. And it also will go out in this week's newsletter tomorrow. It'll go out to all of our followers. So you can learn more there if you'd like to read the whole process. He's given us some great pictures to kind of show all the great things you talked about. And we also have a story about Drew and Taylor out on statesvillenc.com. We have a list of all the hot air balloon pilots. And so there's a story, I guess, about you. And then we've added Taylor in there as you. I think it was written, you weren't married yet. So we probably need to revisit that. But
there's a lovely picture of me about a year old inside a balloon for the first time.
That's right. Awesome. So telling the whole story. So we're glad to have that and be able to showcase that and celebrate hot air ballooning here in Statesville. So we appreciate you being here with us today, Drew.
Absolutely.
We'll be there cheering you on.
I hope so. Okay. I want to hear you. We can definitely hear people cheering from there. So
yes. Is it like a team name? Is it Aerolina Aviation? I mean, how are you entered into the competition? Or am I just like, go, let's go, Drew?
It's just under our individual names. We do like to work together with people. So one of my best friends from Ohio comes down and we always work together on the radio with each other, but it's not an official team. Okay. All of us are just individually trying to be the best.
So if I'm just yelling, go, Drew, that's right. What I'm saying.
I'll hear you.
Okay.
So, guys, Carolina Balloon Fest, October 20th through 22nd, right here in Statesville, North Carolina. It's the 48th annual. You can go to carolinaballoonfest.com to learn more. Or, as always, tune in to statesvillenc.com, read Drew's blog about competitive hot air ballooning, or just his story and his family story on how they got into it. We appreciate you. Until next time, thanks, Drew.
Thank you for joining Discover Statesville. You can email us at discover@statesvillenc.com. Check us out on Facebook at Discover Statesville NC, hashtag Discover Statesville, and our website, statesvillenc.com. Catch us next week as we continue on our journey to uncover the hidden gems, culinary adventures, entertainment, and to be inspired and enlightened as we discover Statesville.